Pacific Mornings on ABC Radio Australia.
Now, 3 years ago, the Family Protection Act came into force in the Solomon Islands, and it brought in new provisions for those suffering from family violence, such as counselling, refuges, legal advice and police safety notices, or PSN. Now, the Solomon Islands has some of the highest rates of family and sexual violence in the world, where 64% of women aged 15 to 49 have reported abuse by a partner. Now, earlier this year, a team of researchers travelled to five different provinces in the Solomons and met with women who had used these new services. One of those researchers is Dr. Anouk Ride, a gender and social inclusion consultant, and she joins me now. Good morning, Dr. Anouk.
Good morning, Talia.
Now, it's been 3 years since the Family Protection Act came into force. So what did the women who spoke with you tell you about what's changed since it came into effect?
Yeah, we spoke with over 100 women from different parts of the Solomon Islands, which represents about 10% of all the women who have used services under the new Family Protection Act system. And there was a range of findings, but one of the ones that jumped out was that those women who had been to police stations and actually got police safety notices, or PSNs as they're called, were actually very satisfied with that service. So 70% of them said that after they got the PSN, their husband or their other family member who was violent to them actually stopped and changed their behaviour, and they stayed safe afterwards.
Can you just describe what a PSN is and what it does?
Yeah, so a police safety notice lasts for 21 days, and basically it's a notice that the police give to a violence perpetrator to say you must stop certain activities. It can include things like staying away from the woman or away from the children that they've been violent to. It can include not drinking alcohol or holding weapons. So it just tries to set a bunch of rules that will keep the woman or the child safe for a short period of time. And it can be used as either a warning or as an interim measure before taking more serious measures like a protection order from the courts or a formal arrest and court case.
And why did the women find these public safety notices were the most useful service? Is it because it did actually lead to changed behaviour?
I think the threat of the police is significant in changing, you know, these men who have been violent. So I think once they see the police coming down and giving them a notice, they're now thinking about the consequences of their actions and what could happen. You know, they could be taken to court. They could be, be in prison. So that works for most of the male perpetrators. Of course, not everyone. There were cases where the men broke the conditions of the police safety notice. And there are some men that, you know, even with the threat of the police, it doesn't change their behaviour. So it doesn't work in all cases, but we found in most cases it actually works. The problem is that most women who go to police stations in Solomon Islands at the moment are not being given information and action about police safety notices. So we found of all the women who went to the police, only 38% of them were given information or action about police safety notices. And we're talking about the majority of them having quite serious physical injuries. One story that sticks in my mind is a woman in Malaita, and she lived in a rural area, and so she had physical injuries, and she ran a long way to her local police station. Okay, so she arrives at the police station, she has physical injuries, she's travelled a long distance, she's exhausted, and the advice from the police officer who was at the station was, oh, you better think seriously about, you know, what you're doing. Think first before you come to us, you know? So she was sort of discouraged from doing anything further. So there's a lot of work to be done to change these kind of gender norms and these attitudes that support violence, not only within society, but within the police force and within other service providers as well.
Because is it a case, because I noted that in your research and in that case study you literally just gave, where women were not provided with that information on PSNs or anything else, why aren't police doing that? If there is a service that is looking to be working and they are the police, it means that they, you know, it doesn't get time up in the courts. Why aren't the police offering these public safety notices or letting women know that it's an option? Is it around the attitudes to domestic violence in Solomon Islands and especially within the police force?
Look, it's a range of factors. One is attitudes is a big factor in it. So we found things like, for example, if if I'm a woman and I know a police officer and then I go for help, then that police officer is more likely to help me. So it's attitudes and who you know sometimes, but it's also about the resources of the police themselves. You know, they do have a lack of transport. Most provincial police stations don't have IT equipment, computers and so forth. So there's a resourcing issue as well as attitudes and as well as training. So to train police officers to respond well to these kind of complaints and issues that come up at stations takes a long time. And while there has been some investment in it, you know, for example, the Family Violence Unit, who is responsible for a lot of that training in Solomon Islands, it's only three or so people. Yeah, so there needs to be more resources put into the Family Violence Unit in particular and other sort of parts of the system that can help train police officers so they can adequately respond.
And so what were some of the recommendations you've made in this report?
Look, there's a set of recommendations for each of the agencies involved, which includes the Ministry of Justice, the Ministry of Women, the police, the courts, and also the NGO services, because local NGOs provide most of the refuge services, counselling and support services for women in Solomon Islands. But one of the big recommendations for all of these agencies was to provide more information to the women themselves about what services they're entitled to, because we found that many women don't actually know, you know, that they're entitled to, for example, a police safety notice or counselling or refuges and so forth. So actually giving the information and the power to the women to request these kind of services is a big obstacle that all of the services can help with.
And especially in the regions too. I mean, it's easier in capital cities to get information out, but in the regions it tends to get a little bit harder. Dr. Anouk Ride, what is next? Will you be doing follow-up research? What's the next plan?
Well, the next plan for the government is going to do a more formal statutory review of the Family Protection Act, and that will bring forth a lot of these recommendations and look at more at that level of, okay, now we have these ideas and we have these requests and needs of the women. How do we actually implement it throughout the system?
Excellent. Well, Dr. Anouk Ride, thank you so much for your time and for joining Pacific Mornings. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Talia.
Thank you. That was Dr. Anouk Ride. She's a gender and social inclusion consultant.